This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Some new protections for California customers are a new law. A pedestrian struck by a driver trying to get away from CHP in a pursuit in South LA. First, the latest on that deadly bus jacking in downtown LA.
Some Metro passengers were on board a bus early this morning when another passenger was shot to death, and then the bus was hijacked. The SWAT team was called out, and they finally stopped the vehicle and arrested the suspect after an hour-long chase. John Baird is live at 6th and Alameda, where the investigation is still going on.
Investigators are still trying to piece all of this together, figure out exactly how it all went down. But police say the bus driver hit a panic button. That was early this morning, maybe 1230, 1245. And when officers finally located the vehicle, it rolled away. It had been hijacked. And there were at least three passengers still on board, including the suspect, the man who was shot, and another passenger who was hiding out in the back. But that's when the chase began, an hour-long chase. Police finally used spike strips to stop the bus after that pursuit. SWAT team members then stormed the bus and arrested the suspect without incident. LAPD Deputy Chief Donald Graham. Shooting happened while you were driving around chasing it?
No, we don't believe. We believe that the shooting happened very early in the incident prior to our contact. We don't know for sure yet. But so far, based on statements, that's what we're starting our investigation on.
And that would indicate that some passengers were there when the shooting happened. In fact, some were able to get off the bus before police located the vehicle. So it was before the chase even began. But police detectives are going to pull surveillance video from the bus to determine exactly what happened. We do know the bus driver got out okay, and the passenger who was shaken up in the back, who was hiding back there, he was also taken off the bus by the SWAT team. He's okay. The passenger who was shot was pronounced dead at the hospital.
There are traffic implications because of this on Alameda downtown. We'll get more with Susie here in just about 2 minutes. Well, a man who led police on a chase was taken into custody last night. This after hitting a person as he tried to get away from police. The chase began in Torrance near the 405 and 110 interchange. The man led CHP at times, very high-speed pursuit, hit the 57-60-91 freeway. Suspect was driving erratically at times, had his lights off. The chase came to an end in South LA where he collided with another car. Also hit that person, that condition of that person that was hit, still not known.
California's rolling out some new consumer protection laws, including a ban on medical bills impacting credit reports. That means medical debt will be prohibited from being used as a negative factor when it comes to things like credit scores and qualifying for loans. The governor signed 19 bills in total in this latest package. One of them is designed to prevent some banks from applying overdraft fees to transactions that were declined. Another makes it easier to cancel subscription services by requiring businesses that use auto renewals to have a simple click-to-cancel option. His office said in a statement that the bills address issues that have put a financial strain on people and sets new standards for transparency and accountability for industries. That click-to-cancel option, that particular bill won't take effect until July of 2025.
Speaking of, the governor just signed a slew of new bills as well for gun control. As Bob Brill says, some of them will certainly end up in court.
With the signing of a host of new gun laws, Governor Newsom continues to position himself as the leader of the anti-gun lobby. The state has passed many laws regarding restricting guns, but a number of those were shot down by the courts. Under the new laws, a judge can consider stalking, acts of animal cruelty, or threats of violence as evidence for a gun restraining order. A person who has a misdemeanor charge dismissed because they were mentally incompetent will also be prohibited from possessing a gun. Current laws only apply to felony cases. Ghost guns. Law enforcement must prohibit their contracted vendors from selling them. It received bipartisan support from the state legislature. Another law is designed to provide more protections for domestic violence survivors. It makes it tougher for cops to own a gun if they committed such violence. Law enforcement is also required to take away firearms from offenders. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News 97.1 FM.
A federal judge will hear from non-veteran organizations and businesses who have property on the VA in West LA. This comes after a U.S. district judge ordered the leases between these groups and the VA to be terminated so the land can be used for veteran housing and services. LA County says there are about 3,000 homeless veterans in the county. Right now, a lot of the nearly 400-acre West LA campus is leased by UCLA's baseball team, a private school, an oil company, and other private businesses. The hearing is set for 9 o'clock this morning.
Well, this morning's hijacking of a Metro bus and murder of a passenger, just one of the latest acts of violence on our Metro system here in L.A. Well, what steps can be taken to prevent further violence and to keep both drivers and, of course, passengers safe? Joining us live is security expert Paul Violas.
Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vicki. Good morning, Brian.
So we should point out, you don't have a connection to Metro, but you are sort of an expert when it comes to security. So you heard about this bus hijacking this morning. A passenger on board was shot and killed. What are the solutions, if any, to these sort of problems happening?
I think, first of all, Vicki, the thing is that the motive is still, you know, the jury's out on that. We don't know if this is random or planned. You know, why that bus, why that time? Was this an issue with respect to the person that got shot? Was this an issue with respect to a variety of things surrounding Metro? Who knows? They'll find that out. PD did a good job on the tactical side. But the overarching issue here, and people, your colleagues all over the country have been calling this morning asking, what do we do in light of what happened in L.A.? And the question is really not that difficult to answer, but yet it seems to be insurmountable, Vicki. And the reason for that is that we cannot simply put, you know, non-tactically trained security personnel in a Metro system and expect to provide the level of protection that we need in today's world. You need skilled professionals, law enforcement officers, that are accustomed to close-quarter shooting if they have to, or use of force, so that innocent people don't get hurt. The question is, do we want to pay for it or do we not? If we don't want to pay for it, then the issue doesn't get solved. This continues to grow. And we do see it growing, to your point, Vicki, across the entire country.
Paul, so before the cops get on the buses and the trains, I know they do that in Europe, they do that other places around the world. I'm getting on Metro. Let's say I'm getting on the train. What do I need to be aware of? What do I need to do for my own safety? What should I be looking out for now?
That's a good question, Brian. And I know a lot of us kind of resist this because we don't want to feel this is here on U.S. soil, but it actually is. One of the things that we kind of forgot after 9/11, but things that we need to be looking at today. One, if people are dressed outside of the weather. Now, I know that sounds odd, but if it's a warm day out and someone's wearing an overcoat, that's an issue. That's something to be concerned about. If you see a backpack, a device, that or anything that's left alone when somebody gets up off a bus, that's a problem, or a train. Any kind of object that's left unattended. And then, of course, you know, you have, and I always say this, but you have that gut feeling that when you get on a bus, when you get on a train, when you get on public transportation, you got a feeling for the things that don't look in place. Now, it's difficult to report it, right? Because where are you? You can get off the bus. Can you do anything on the larger scale? Can you call 911? You can, but are they really going to respond? You can report it to the bus driver. When you're on a train, it's a lot more difficult. So from a personal standpoint, it's really situational awareness in identifying the things that look out of place and the things that clearly don't fit, and then removing yourself from the situation as quickly as possible.
Speaking with Paul Violas, a security expert, regarding the hijacking of a Metro bus this morning and the shooting to death of one of the passengers. Paul, are consequences, in your opinion, or consequences for crime a deterrent? And in your opinion, is that a factor in all of this? That people just don't fear the punishment anymore? We know this is one of the big issues in the current race for LA County District Attorney.
Vicki, it's not just that. It's a behavioral fact. It's something that's inescapable. If you tell your kid, you know, come home by 11 o'clock and they come home at 1 o'clock drunk and you open up a beer and give it to them, they're coming home at 3 o'clock in the morning the next time. There have to be consequences for actions. It's a human behavioral issue. And right now, and this is not just L.A., these are counties and districts across the country, if we remove ourselves from solid issues that we're not addressing relative to, does the punishment fit the crime? And are we enforcing the law the way we should? And are there ramifications for those actions? Then clearly they're going to continue. And that's all there is to it. It's not debatable. It's not even something open for discussion. If you don't punish someone when they do something wrong, they will continue to do something wrong.
security expert Paul Violas joining us. Paul, thank you.
And we should point out that KNX News and the LA Times will be hosting a debate in that pivotal race for the LA County District Attorney. The incumbent, George Gascon, the challenger, Nathan Hochman, going to be facing off on the issues that matter. Crime, public safety, quality of life, and more. It's going to be live Tuesday, October 8th, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, right here, KNX News 97.1 and on YouTube. More info, knxnews.com. Online holiday sales expected to be nearly $250 billion this year, and a very old tree is getting some protection in L.A. County. We'll tell you more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
It's 7:41. An alarming new study about kids and social media. A new study by the World Health Organization says the continuously online generation's social media use is interfering with their lives. The study's author at the University of Glasgow surveyed nearly 280,000 kids across Europe and also Asia.
The sort of questions we ask are things like, are you always thinking about social media when you're not on it? Do you find it hard to come off social media? Do you neglect other activities in your lives because of the amount of time you're spending on social media? And do you find yourself maybe lying about the amount of time to family and friends and so on?
The answer would be yes, I guess, from host kids there. They found that girls more likely to report problematic media, social media use. Boys were more likely to do some over-gaming, of course, overdoing the gaming thing. The WHO's regional director for Europe says there needs to be more digital literacy education to help kids develop a healthy approach to being online.
Adobe expects Americans to spend more than $240 billion online this holiday season. Adobe Digital Insights lead analyst says that consumers will be looking for value.
We're expecting strong growth for the overall online holiday shopping season, but these major days like Black Friday and Thanksgiving are going to continue to show staying power because that's where consumers expect the strongest discounts to be.
More than half of online purchases are expected to be made on phones.
Well, you may recall that Alaska Airlines flight from Portland back in January when that door plug flew off. You can't miss that one. I couldn't forget that. That was on the way to Ontario Airport. Now, Senate subcommittee has released a memo about Boeing safety problems related to that incident. The memo says Boeing cares more about speeding up production than safety. A survey found that 47% of Boeing workers believed that the pressure to produce quickly didn't affect quality. The memo also pointed out issues with training and inspections for those employees.
A massive oak tree in the Santa Clarita Valley, which was saved by environmentalists 20 years ago, is now officially a county historic landmark. We get more from our Pete Demetrio.
What was originally called the Valley Oak, 70 feet tall and 400 plus years old, was saved in 2003 by the actions of activists, including John Quigley, who lived in the tree for 71 days before a decision was made to move it from Stevenson Ranch to Pico Park. That put the tree in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest tree ever transplanted. Now, courtesy of a motion from Supervisor Catherine Barger, the Valley Oak, now nicknamed Old Glory, has historic landmark designation. And it and other trees in the area will be the subject of an awareness campaign of their value to the environment. The campaign happening next month, which the board has designated as Oaktober. I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre's been coming out with his Parkinson's diagnosis, talked about this, and it reminds everyone of the dangers of playing football. Some NFL players are wearing a different style helmet now with extra padding on the outside. They're called guardian caps. Players have been wearing them in practices for the past few seasons, but this is the first year they've been worn in games during the regular season. And we talked about it this morning, about these caps, with Eric Schwartz. He's the vice dean and professor at Adelphi University School of Education and Health Sciences.
So these guardian hats, the NFL has said it's okay to wear them now. Is there any proof, or is there any research saying that they actually work?
Well, it depends on the context of that question. They do decrease impact force by about 10%. And that's when you study these add-ons in a lab and you impact the helmet with a extra layering like a guardian cap, and it decreases the force by about 10%. But as far as reducing the injury of concussions, there haven't been any true randomized controlled studies that have demonstrated a cause and effect relationship with decreasing that injury just by wearing that guardian cap. That research has not been done, and it's really important that the people carry out that scientific process.
And that's, I would assume something like that, a study like that takes time, doesn't it? I mean, you've got to evaluate data over a number of years.
Yeah, it's really hard to carry out, and ideally it's randomized, and that's hard to do in a setting like football. So in other words, you would have some players on a team randomized to wear them and others not, sort of serving as a control group. But that's the gold standard for really any intervention that is intended to have a medical benefit. You know, any drugs that make the market or over-the-counter medications always go through human randomized controlled trials. And that's really what's necessary for, you know, any claim that they reduce injuries such as concussions.
Do you think the NFL is going to mandate these, or do you think at this point they're still going to say, like you said, we'll try, a couple players can wear them, and not everybody does?
Well, they have actually mandated them for players in the preseason and in practices. So to an extent, they already have gone pretty far in requiring them. And that was after an initial trial period where certain position groups only wore them. But based on the data that they were analyzing, they then mandated them. And players have the option to wear them in games. They are not mandating them in games. And honestly, I hope it doesn't get to that point.
What about college football? Are they wearing these yet, or is that still a little ways off?
Sure. Colleges and even high schools, they naturally look up to the NFL and what they're doing. And, you know, and in most situations, it's a natural and logical thing for them to do and to follow. But at the moment, colleges and high schools are doing it voluntarily, as far as I know, and there's no rules right now that I'm aware of with the National Federation of High Schools or the NCAA that mandates them, but players are permitted to wear them, and teams are starting to buy these, and it's an investment. It's not a trivial investment. And again, it's not just about the forces that they might absorb. You know, I have some concerns around the extra protection and players changing their behavior and using their heads more frequently because of this extra layer of protection. And then you might end up having more head impacts than you would have.
Again, that is Adelphi University Health Sciences Professor Eric Schwartz.